As I say, it's got some negativity to it because I'm going to give my study that I was going to be giving at the conference, and fortunately they'll to speak. And I just want to thank Bob again for that, because I asked him to put me on the back burner just in case, you know, there happened to be someone that wasn't able to speak. I said I would fill in, and I would like to do that for every conference, to just be put as needed speaker, because we know that I have a few issues with that, but that's all good. But in 2 Timothy 2:17 and 18, Paul's telling Timothy, "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Dave Bickle started out the same way that I was going to start out, as far as what he said, the first 6 words out of his mouth. It's same old, same old, same old. Because throughout Paul's messages, it just, the same thing keeps coming up. And in the notes in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, in 1 Timothy it says, "Even the earliest period and the increasing heresies are much in evidence. Some there were who had swerved and turned aside altogether. Others denied vital truth and thus overthrew the faith of some. Hence Paul's constant warnings against such and instructions to enlighten the opposers. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, how the leaven spread is only plainly shown in Paul's second epistle, which has been aptly termed a picture of the ruin of the church through departure from the apostolic doctrine." And in the notes in the 2 Timothy, is the prominent feature of 2 Timothy is the church's departure from the truth, as when all they are in Asia be turned away into 1:15. He exhorts Timothy, his son, therefore, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. No more is there heard, as in the first epistle, and in that to Titus, the apostolic guidance for the church rule, administration of any kind. Only 2 things are possible now: preach the word, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others. And as the first epistle, the Holy Spirit, through Paul's tales of even worse, perilous or grievous times in the last days. The only charge in connection with which is, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. In verse 17, their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. The eat there is name. It's a pasture, a place where a flock may spread out to eat. It's a spreading, the nature of eating the flesh. This canker, is the Greek form in that is gangrena, and we know that gangrene is has a necrotic feature to it, whereas a canker is more of a small, aggravating cyst, I guess you could say. Not a cyst, but a sore that's just more annoying than anything, whereas gangrene just devours the flesh, and 9 times out of 10, there has to be amputation. My father is a perfect example of that with diabetes. He got gangrene in one foot and wound up losing it. And in the recovery, when he was during the process of recovering, he got his other foot. Within a year later, he wound up losing it also. And anybody that's had to deal with gangrene knows that it is very pungent when you walk into a room. It has an aroma that there's no describing it. But Paul is using it here as seeing how this can cause the church to be destroyed, or parts of the church, parts of the body, the same way can be used as the church. Parts of the body of Christ can have to be cut away if the gangrene can spread in, or the false teachings be heard of by those. And the causes of these two diseases, the nature of them, and the time which they destroyed the body of man, only they both agree in their parts of infection, starting at the surface. The canker more like a small, painful sore and aggravating, and the gangrene is continuous growth. In Timothy's second letter, the apostle foresees that doctrines which really ate out the very heart of Christianity were likely to become very popular in Ephesus and would do incalculable harm. Concerning false teachers, the church has been pestered with vain babblers for centuries. Unsound opinion are of a spreading nature. It's going on just as much today as it was during the apostles' time and even during Christ's time. When looking at unbelief, you can say that unbelief can run into atheism. Fear can be into despair. Anger can run into fury. And that to revenge. Temporary faith can run into high presumption. And speculative lust into actual whoredom. It's our choice to stay faithful with Christ and His Word and take Paul's message to heart. Other verses that are comparable to unfaithful people. Looking back to 2 Timothy 1:15. Thou hast knowest that all they which are in Asia are turned away from me, whom are Phlegas and Hermogenes. Now, Phlegas and Hermogenes are possible believers because they turned away from them. They were ashamed of my chain in 2:16. In contrast to Onesiphorus, they did not stand with me but forsook me. A hint to Timothy, who's now in Asia, not to be, but to imitate, rather, Onesiphorus, and to come to him. In 2 Timothy 4:21, he says, Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greet thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. You'll have to excuse me, I think I made my font down to about 6 here, and it's hard for me to read. Believers such as Phlegas and Hermogenes, or those we know or have known that turn from the truth in order to excuse their own baseness, to forge as many accusations as they can against the good, faithful ministers of the gospel. How many have done this? The people that are on this page, we can name them all. I can name 2, and I know those of you that have been in this word for 30-plus years can name quite even more. They claim to know right division, but later find accusation to those that study right division. In 1 Timothy 1:6, Paul tells Timothy, "From which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling." He shows how necessary it is that faith be accompanied by a good conscience, because on the other hand, the punishment of a bad conscience is turning away from the path of stewardship. They only do not serve God with a sincere and perfect heart. Oh, they who do not serve God with a sincere and perfect heart, but give a loose rein to traditional belief. Even though at first they have a sound understanding, or it seems as though they have a sound understanding, but come to lose it altogether. It's our duty to stay faithful and study Scripture earnestly. Paul's Corinthians 1:18-20, and we can take this as our charge as well. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." See, Paul knew that he was in a warfare. He knew Timothy was going to be in a warfare. And he tells them that to be faithful, and we're in a warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now these are unbelievers, because to put away is the Greek form apenathomahi, and it's to reject, which some have rejected concerning faith and have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Same old. 2 Timothy 3:7-9. Same old. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now there's two more here. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Ever learning. How many people could you say fit this bill? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not only how many people can you say that to, but how many traditional churches can you say that about? How many different religions can you say that about? The Church of Scientology, just off the top. Vain jangling. Just make up their own religions. In Romans 1:28, it's just after Paul talks about those losing their natural affections to their opposite genders. Romans 1:28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient, Now, reprobate is Greek form 96. It's adokimos. It's a negative particle, and it's unapproved, rejected, worthless, cast away, rejected, or reprobate. In 2 Timothy 4, 3-8, talking about a future time here. For the time will come when they, professing Christians here, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, either denominational or plain out made up to suit their own desires, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But, and 5, watch thou in all things. Here comes 3 words. Endure afflictions. Do the work of Christ. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And put 4:2 in there, Chip. 2 Timothy 4:2. You can put it before and after. It works both ways. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In Titus 1:10-14, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Paul had a problem with the circumcision, those that were supposed to be following the law or the whole law, but they decided to make their own laws up. Especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. And that's shameful gain. And he says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And then he says, this witness is true. He says, what he says is true, they are. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, and not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And that they there is those that seduced by the false teachers brought back to soundness in faith, their malady and strifes about words and questions. Great wicked men fall by couples. In 1 Timothy, you have Hymenaeus and Alexander. In 2 Timothy there, we have those. And then, for the devil in all things seek to imitate the Lord. If God have Moses and Aaron, he will have a Janus and Jambres. If Christ send out his true disciples by two and by two, the Antichrist will do the like. We read of Joshua and Caleb, and Sandalwalt and Tobiah, Paul and Timothy. We even have Paul and Barnabas, and Philetus and Alexander, because one will toll and tempt the other, for sin united sinners as grace also to the godly. And by couples they seem to be the less faulty, the more able to defend their cause. For woe unto him that is alone when two strong men oppose him or oppose a true cause. In Acts 20:28-31, the apostle says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure," Paul knew that after he left, that grievous wolves would enter a man among them, not sparing the flock. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." 2 Timothy 2:18, "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is passed over, and overthrow the faith of some, or missed the mark, who concerning the truth have erred or missed the mark, asserting the resurrection already to have taken place and overthrow the faith of some." Where can we look to see where this could possibly have been brought out? We can look back to Matthew, in Matthew 27, verses 50-53. There's a possible point of confusion here that could have been brought to the attention of the saints that led to confusion. Philetus and them, they could have brought this to the saints' confusion, because it's been some 38 to 39 years after this that 2 Timothy is written. It says, "Jesus, when he had cried aloud again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in the twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake." And the rocks rent. In 52, "And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose." So this is not in Mark or Luke or John. And then 53, and I have no problem with that. Why not? You know, if anything, that's Satan's job, is to put as much confusion as he can to draw out the faithful people. Because the more he can draw away from top Christ, the longer he can stay. The body of Christ, once the body of Christ is filled to its fullest, the appearing takes place. Of all the people that don't want that to happen, it's going to be Satan. He don't want the body to be filled. But it's our job to set it straight, to get the truth out. Today's confused churchgoers' famous lie that missed the mark, absent from the body to be present with the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 5:8. Taking what some guy up on a pulpit is hollering and taking it. Yeah, I love that. I want that. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Overthrown faith. An actual quote that falls into overthrown faith. If you believe that when you die and stay in the grave for unnumbered days, I don't want part of your faith. I want to believe my loved ones are in heaven right now. So I'm going to go with what my preacher says. And to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That bothers me, you know? But my barber that I work with, we sat down a couple of weeks ago when the barbershop was totally dead. We wasn't doing nothing. And we sat down and talked, and I explained to him about this. And believe it or not, he came to me today. Yeah. He says, Tony, I really do think you're right. Really did help. In Ephesians 6:16, it's our job, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Sure, there's hope for those that sway from the truth. In James 5:19, this is another dispensation. It says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, and 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. You notice it says hide a multitude of sins. That automatically puts it into the previous dispensation. Those of us that know the difference knows that if we can save one person to come to the knowledge of the truth, his sins aren't hidden. His sins are totally banished. In 2 Timothy 1:19, nevertheless, for indeed, foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Word nevertheless, the Greek form mentoi, it's used as an emphatic indeed, truly, sure, having it that God standeth sure, that stereos, it's a firm, fine, faith steadfast, and the seal. This seal is, write it out, but it's phragis. And it's the seal that only God can see as an instrument for producing a seal or stamp in the sense of an official mark showing authenticity, certification, confirmation, or proof. This is a seal that only God can see. Thanks be to God for giving the body member the eyes to see the truth and ears to hear and understand through discernment. Ephesians 1, 8 and 9. He says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. This is given by the Holy Spirit, the truth in all scriptures. And understand, when listening to different denominations, praise God, we know it is true. And what is confusion? The body members should be closely connected. In Ephesians 14, Ephesians 4:16, from whence the body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Body members are dependent on each other. Like the different parts of the human body, one cannot be corrupted without affecting those next to it. And unless checked, the corruption will soon spread over the whole. Paul warned Timothy of this, and we know this is true, but we can also see how it can slow the progress of the filling of the body. Just a couple of examples of the Lord knoweth this. I just wanted to put these in there. Psalms 37:28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the wicked of the seed, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him. God knows those that trust him. Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say, and this is the Lord speaking here, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In John 10:27-30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's the difference from those that just show up and those that are faithful. My Father which giveth them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We'll finish up with Ephesians 1:13. This is the seal of the body. In whom you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. and 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. This hasn't taken place yet. And I said that was the last, but I want to go to read 1 to 4 to be my closing verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, in God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with Him in glory. Even though Christ reckons us as being dead, this is not the first death that some have taught. This death has not taken place yet. This pretty much sums up the sealing. Colossians 3:1-4 is a seal that only God can see, only Christ can see. This is a seal that He knows is stamped on us, the body of Christ. It can't be taken off. It can't be seen by anybody else. But with this sealing, we have hope in the upon heavens. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for this day and for, Lord, this message. Lord, that it may be able to bring just one more person to the knowledge of the truth. And Lord, that it did bring edification to Your body. For it's all these things in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.